Did you know people actually used to believe that strenuous exercise would do irreparable harm to the human uterus? I don't know if my mother believed that or not. All I know is that she wrote about it more than once. Here's an excerpt from one of her articles, Science Secrets for Keeping a Happy Husband. All animals select mates who appear best able to reproduce. Since exercise is proven to damage the uterus, millions of years of evolution have predisposed men to avoid a muscular woman. This was in the April 1972 issue of Homemaker Mystique. 1972. So I doubt my mom believed it. She may have been nuts, but she was very rarely stupid. This article was almost certainly an assignment from her editor, Leonard Engelberg.
Hand to my heart, Lenny Engelberg wasn't just a snake. He was a serpent. Bad cigars and slime and scales. He was one of the vile, unholy things that con poor Eve.
Mom rarely talked to me about her time at the magazine. She rarely talked about herself at all. With me, she communicated almost exclusively through insults and lectures. I wouldn't be able to tell you much about my mom if it weren't for the recordings.
Okay. Tape 6, 1973. This is Esther Carl.
Mom made recordings. A lot of them. And sure, I get it. Journalists make a lot of recordings. But not like my mom. My mom had a problem.
It's March 5th. We've stopped at a gas station outside Death Valley to feed Corey and refuel the Chrysler. This bathroom looks like a lot of junkies have died in here. It's a strong vibe. Strong smell.
She recorded her thoughts. She recorded people around her. She recorded me and my dad. She recorded our neighbors, cashiers, mail carriers, all of her phone calls. In her life, she recorded enough to completely fill a two-car garage. My two-car garage. When she died, I got the tapes. Mom's compulsive recording started when I was 3. It was also about the time that she, without warning, quit her job and moved us to a tiny town on the Upper West Side of Death Valley.
It was a swinging place in the 50s and 60s. Sinatra, Kennedy, the Monkees. But then they did as you do, and they polluted and overpumped the aquifer beneath their feet, and tourism dried up right along with it.
On the morning of March 6, 1973, the temperature was 108 in the shade, and my mom, my dad, and I became residents 837, 838, and 839 of Boiler Water Springs, California.
Irving?
Ignore him a minute. We'll settle.
Can I put the tape recorder here?
Here. Have a seat.
Oh, thanks.
I hate that fucking dog sometimes. I really do. It's no fun having a goddamn puppy around all the goddamn time.
Lots of the tapes I inherited are like this. Long discussions with our weird neighbors. But Mom always followed a lead.
The dog was a Father's Day gift. I guess you call him a rescue now? Got him at the pound. Mutt. Retriever, terrier, cocker spaniel, maybe.
That's Dottie. When Mom interviewed her, she was still Irving's wife after more than 50 years, still living in a house where they raised their 3 children.
It was our son, named him Scribbles.
Daddy is small, wrists like carrots, big owl-eyed glasses, and perm so round, like a lollipop. She doesn't live with Irving anymore.
It's a blank. A blank and your babies go off to have babies. 16 years. And it's a long time for a dog. And it kills you to see it. So for a long time, you just don't.
You saw it was time.
More I was pushed to see it. Though I suppose I needed a push. Selfish to make him suffer. In the wild, you know, the wolves would get him. Or cougars, or hawks, or something.
Sure.
So I call the vet. Vet says he'll come to the house if I want. So I say, sure, come to the house. Dottie's out getting a perm. Come to the house. Let's get it over with.
I don't think you really called.
But the vet, you mean?
No. But if he did, I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he just got cold feet and sent the fella packing.
I let him inside. We agree on a price. I pay the man in cash. $80. 3 20s, 2 10s. Then I take him to the back to see Scribbles. Vet takes one look at that dog, and look at that miserable thing lying there beside his bowl like a pile of wet sticks. And he refused to do it.
He refused to... You mean to euthanize him?
That's right. Gave me my money back. Shoved it in my hand and called me sick. A sick son of a bitch.
Why?
Said he didn't want nothing to do with putting down a healthy dog. That's what he said. Healthy.
Ain't no vet worth his... There's nobody. Forget the vet. Not nobody with a working set of eyeballs would mistake Scribbles for a healthy dog.
He didn't look healthy.
He looked like hell. Milky yellow eyes, scabby skin and bones.
But he Broken said... Teeth,
hurt him to eat, hurt him to drink.
But the vet, he said Scribbles looked healthy?
More than that, said that dog wasn't nothing more than a puppy. And I was a sick son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you got your gun.
Yeah, that's when I got my gun.
According to Irving, he loaded up his pickup. Mom records it as a beige 1958 GMC. He wrapped Scribbles up in a bath towel with his favorite toy, a little rag rabbit with a bell inside. He lay him in the passenger seat, and he laid his revolver between them.
And what was that drive like?
Quiet, for the most part. He just lied there, breathing. Looked at me now and then, after a rough road or a turn. Real calm. Real peaceful. But then, you know.
Then what?
I don't know if everybody makes up songs for their dogs. But everybody I ever known.
Huh?
Right. So I sung to him a little, once we was outside of town.
Irving told me he used to sing to the dog.
Oh yeah, sure. Never to the boys, but to Scribbles all the time.
You remember what he'd sing?
Oh, you know. He'd be fixing him dinner, singing silly stuff like, I don't know, like, they call him Scribbles, Sir Scribbles, best dog in the land.
Oh, my Scribbles vibe, Scriblet. I got great news for you, friend. Oh, Scribbles, my Scriblet. Your bowl's full again.
Three days later, Sheriff's deputy found the pickup out on the side of the road. Past Badwater Basin.
And it was empty.
No, there was plenty of gas. Started right up.
Right, I mean, no one inside it.
Oh, no. No, no Irving, no Scribbles. Passenger door wide open. They told me they searched for weeks, but all they ever turned up was one of my bath towels. Way out on the salt flats. Waffle stitch in a, well, I don't want to say an aquamarine. It was kind of a pale teal.
And the next thing you remember?
It'd have to be I'm putting down a fresh plank on the side deck. And after I hammer in the last nail, I look up, and there's Dottie. Standing right there, crying and hollering my name.
And what did you think of that?
I thought, oh yeah, I got a wife.
He says he doesn't remember in between. Doesn't know how he got there, what happened to him.
And you don't entirely believe him.
I mean, I don't know if I would say... I mean... Would you?
And how long have you been working at the store?
About a year and a month.
Uh-huh. And you don't remember any of it?
I don't.
So you're singing to the dog.
And I'm hammering the nail.
13 months is a long time.
I mean, I suppose. You gotta keep in mind, I did have a hole in my head.
Mm-hmm. When you turn onto Main Street, the only paved road, you pass under an old wooden archway that says, "Welcome to Boilerwater Springs." To your left is the general store and souvenir shop, which is also the post office. On the right, there's this tiny mining museum, some locomotive parts resting in a corral out back, and then rows of sun-faded pink and powder blue cabins, all shaped like a loaf of bread with an A-frame roof, all with little porches facing the same dirt road that leads away from Maine. Finally, behind the cabins that line Cabin Street, there's just desert. There's just Death Valley.
I remember it being morning. Joey remembers it being dusk.
Whatever it was, we were out there in front in our beach chairs, cooling our feet in the pool there.
I think it was a different pool, though. It was a while ago.
Sure. Same size, though. Little kiddie pool like that one.
Growing up, these two were my next-door neighbors, Joey and Grace DiGregorio. As best as I can tell, they spent most of their time on their front porch swing or sitting in beach chairs in the dust they called a front yard, where they both played slap bass. A lot.
Sounds good.
I saw it first, just a little dot on the horizon way out across the desert. But you watch long enough, you get the idea it's a man. And you see he's shuffling closer.
Irving?
We didn't know it was Irving at the time because we didn't know Irving at the time.
Yep.
Irving gets up to the busted spot in the log fence there, and now we can see he's a real mess. I say to Grace, this guy's a real mess.
Irv's moving with a lurch and shuffle like one of those Frankenstein
monsters.
I was going to say monsters.
And this Yahoo, he comes right up into the yard, right up in front of us. Don't wave, don't smile or say hi.
And of course, now we can see he's red as a lobster, pretty much burned to a crisp.
And he's carrying a revolver, and he's got a friggin' bullet hole in his head. A nice clean entry wound right above the left eye, sloppy blowout right behind his right ear. This guy's a real mess.
I swear you could see light coming through the hole.
You couldn't see light coming through.
He stops right in front of us, and he drops down to his knees, and he just dunks his whole head into the pool right there between our feet.
Made the water all black and red.
I pulled my feet right out.
I pulled mine out too.
Because he started drinking.
Oh, oh, oh.
He seemed very thirsty.
He looked real bad, but he walked right up to the register, dripping all kinds of, like, water and blood all over the place. And his lips, kind of like, you know, like a hot dog when you leave it on the fire too long.
And what did he want?
He told me he was there to inquire about the help wanted sign we had in the window.
And what did you do?
I guess I gave him an application.
As one does.
The cashier girl. She told me Irving was the only man to apply. So the wackadoodle owner gave it to him. To a stranger with an extra hole in his head.
So then what, he just never came home again?
He just never came home.
It was almost dark.
We were out on the porch playing guitar. I remember because it went like this.
No, no. It was like this.
I'm skipping this. Cool.
Out of the corner of my ear, I think I hear thunder like a clap. So I stop playing. And right away, I hear a gunshot. I shout to Grace, I heard a gunshot.
So I stop playing, and now I hear it. Another one. And a dog is barking, going nuts.
So we go running to the end of the block. And there's Irv, butt naked, trying to shoot this adorable little puppy.
We didn't know Scribbles at the time because we didn't know Scribbles at the
time. And I go, Irv, put some pants on. And he stops blasting long enough to yell back. And he yells back, he's come back to finish the job.
As I remember it, was the end of the day. Sun was going down, cooling off. Dottie's finally gone home, finally left me be.
Same day she found you.
Same day. And I'm getting undressed, and I start to hear something outside. And it's awful familiar. So I'll go out on the porch, and I hear off past the fence, off over the desert, I hear, and then I see him coming. This little thing, hauling ass, kicking up dirt, a puppy, a mutt, terrier, retriever, cocker spaniel, something, running full gait. He clears the fence like it's not there, like a goddamn gazelle, and maybe he's a missile, a torpedo, a bullet, coming at me with this damn stuffed bunny jingling in his mouth.
This bunny.
This very bunny.
Yay, let me take this picture of it.
Is this one of those Instamatics?
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to get one of those cameras, but the cashier? Well, I'm always afraid that they'll think that I want to take nudes, but I just think their need is all.
And is that the toy you sewed?
Yes, looks to be. But that's not the same dog. Looks like the same dog, but...
You're sure it's not?
Of course it's not. How could it be? That's clearly a healthy puppy that he's got now, less than a year old. And Scribbles would be 28 years old today.
In the heat of the moment, I guess I figured Scribbles found out the hole in my head hadn't done the trick. And now he'd come to finish the job.
That's why you were trying to shoot him?
Yeah. Turns out, he was just real happy to see me. Hold up. He probably heard his toy and he wants it now.
And who am I supposed to believe? The man with the hole in his head?
Yeah, so?
Sorry, I'll go to the bathroom. Go back to sleep.
Bedtime, Mama.
I know, honey. Mama has to use the potty. Go to sleep. A year ago, and most of my life, I would have laughed at Irving. I would have rolled my eyes. But after what happened with Engelberg, someone has to listen. Someone has to believe him. Someone has to prove it's true.
I contacted all the veterinarians within 100 miles of Irving and Dottie's address who were in business in 1961. Neither of them remembered anything like it, but one of them wanted to make it perfectly clear that he would put down a healthy puppy. No problem. Contemporary news reports confirm Irving's disappearance. There's even a story in a local paper about Dottie finding him working at the general store, but bizarrely, it makes no mention of his head wound. In August 1980, there's an obituary for Dottie, but searches for Irving, for Scribbles, turn up nothing. By the time I was old enough to remember anything, Irving and Scribbles were local folklore. Mom said Irving woke up one morning and Scribbles was nowhere to be found. Irv didn't think much of it until he saw the dog had left his rag bunny behind. Then Irving headed out across the desert to find him, and neither ever came back. These are the stories I grew up with. These are the people I grew up with. And for most of my life, I felt like we were outsiders there, my parents and me. It wasn't until I started listening to these tapes that I started to see how Mom fit in. Next time on Death Valley Gifts and Souvenirs, Mom spent months digging into a strange roadside memorial, and I've also turned up some new information about Lenny Engelberg, editor of Homemaker Mystique magazine, and Esther Carl, my mom, smiter of monsters. Until next time, wish you were here.
Death Valley Gifts and Souvenirs is a production of Spaceship Town. It was conceived and directed by Wilder Conchok and
Sterling McLaughlin.
Episode 1 was written and edited by Wilder and features the voice talents of
Mel Cowan,
Damon Lockett,
Madeline Walter.
Sarah Savini.
Tony Sancho.
Kenesha Foster.
Tracy Clifton.
With original score by Clipart. If you enjoyed this program, please share it and let us know if you'd like more episodes.